place where we know God continues to just work some things out. I want to thank the Holy Spirit and those angels. I honestly believe that the choir in heaven, the one that showed up when Jesus was born, there was one heralder that showed up, and he began to talk about the birth of Christ. And it was like all instantaneously, as he's speaking, the angelic hosts appear and they begin to sing out this song. I don't know if they had instruments or if their voices began to just pronounce through like a harp or a timbre. I'm not sure how they did it, but the whole choir opened up, and I believe some of those same angels stopped by this place today. And while you had your instrument in your hand, and while you had your hands on it, I honestly believe that while you were trying to move your hand in a certain key, I believe the angels were holding another key, that secret key that they talk about. And I believe that they are so ministering spirits that they take our praise and they mix it with angelic praise. And by the time it gets to the throne room, I believe God begins to do a little. You imagine God catching that? And can you just imagine? And so while we're here, we may feel like, did I feel something move? Is God on his footstool? I just believe. Because if I don't believe that, then everything I do is as a sounding brass. I want God to receive it. So I thank you for allowing yourself to surrender and just availing yourself with the gifts you've been given to be used, mingled with that sweet incense of heaven. God is awesome. I speak to you, but I'm speaking to all. You understand what I'm saying? So let them know what I just told you. Appreciate you. I want to thank the ministers of music. I want to thank technology as well. Just a phenomenal job that the Lord is doing through you. Turn with me very quickly. Gospel according to John. Gospel according to John chapter 9. Gospel according to John chapter 9. We're looking at verse 2. Gospel according to John. And looking there at verse 2. I'm reading from the King James Version. But if you have a different version, you can use that version. Bible records there, it says, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Seeing. Bible is just an awesome experience. And if you're going to leave, you should leave now. Because if what I'm going to do is, everybody left you. And what's going to happen is, when I start preaching, I get a little excited. And I need someone to share my excitement with. Next thing you know, I'm going to be calling on you for the next dance. You know what I mean? With engaging. Stay if you want to. I'm just letting you know what's going to end up happening. Because I have some parts for you. Okay? All right. As you examine this chapter, it opens up. And it opens up in verse 1, but it's carrying over from the prior chapter. The Bible says, and Jesus passed by. We're in verse 1, same chapter, chapter 9. And Jesus passed by. He saw a man who was blind from his birth. Understand what's happening, because I need to move not quickly, but I need to move efficiently through the word so that we can get where we need to go. chapter 8, the Bible says Jesus is there at the temple on the Sabbath, and they bring a woman caught in the act of adultery to Jesus. They begin to question him. They say, should she be stoned? She was caught in the very act of adultery. And Jesus goes through this exercise. You know it very well. He begins to write on the ground. He gets up. He looks. He goes back down. And so as he goes through all that, what I'm trying to establish for purposes of this morning or this afternoon is that Jesus is at the church on the Sabbath. While he's there on the Sabbath, He delivers this woman. After he delivers her, the Bible says they go through this whole long diatribe against Jesus. And by the end of chapter 8, the Bible says they try to stone him. They try to kill Jesus. And the Bible says they try to stone him, but he slipped through and he's walking out. And now in chapter 9, the Bible says as he passed by, he saw a man and he was sitting who was blind from his birth. Watch what's happening. This is the Sabbath day. I want you to get this. We are all gathered in this place. We have called upon the Lord. We've done the call to worship. We've done invocation. We've done just a beautiful job of putting together exactly how this worship service should be carried out. The Bible says they tried to stone Jesus on the Sabbath day in the church. All he was doing, the Bible says he sat down and he tried to teach them. While he's sitting there, they bring this woman caught in the act of adultery. He delivers her through the mercy of God. As he delivers, he tries to teach them. He begins to write on the ground in the dirt. They see it, and the Bible, they see it and they heard it. Chapter 8, seeing. Bible says that he proclaims in that moment in chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. He talks about this idea that he is giving light unto those who will receive it. By the time he gets to chapter 9, he's there with his disciples. He's gotten kicked out of church. Old boy still rolling with him. You ever had those people? You get kicked out of church, but they still call you? Anyone ever been kicked out of church? Don't raise your hand. You know, kicked out of church different ways. You know, something happens and the church board meets. In certain churches, they call it committee. And they meet. And once they meet, what they do is they'll meet and then they'll go ahead and they'll have a discussion about you and in the best interest of the church, not you. In the best interest of the church, they'll take a vote. And then they'll have a business meeting. And a recommendation from the church board. See how many steps we go through? We don't do this much for baptism. Do we? Do we have board meetings about evangelism? Do we have business meetings? Not here. I just drove in this morning. I just drove in. Don't want no trouble. Don't want no problems. It's all my down south, where it's about 10 to 12 degrees warmer. They have these moments where Jesus is there. He's trying to say, the Bible says his disciples are with him. Oftentimes when we excommunicate, when we disfellowship, even when we censor, we're not allowed, it's not permissible, it's looked down upon, we're frowned upon for reaching out to those people we just finished voting on. Oh boy. Happy New Year. Bible says his disciples are with him. They have tried to kill Jesus. The disciples are still with him. They're walking with him. As they are walking by the church, they spent time. They have a relationship. They bonded. There are even a couple of brothers who are there, right? You have James, John, and you have his little brother. You have Peter, and you have his brother Andrew, and you have there's a familiar relationships. You have those who are rolling with Jesus. They've been with him long enough now. They've kind of learned his ways, how he kind of moves in the morning early, sometimes in the afternoon, how he kind of just sits down on wells. They've gotten a good picture of who Jesus is. And as they've gotten this picture of Jesus, they're walking with him. As they're walking with him, the Bible says the question that they have for Jesus, the Bible didn't say one disciple, didn't say just, you know, one of them had asked an errant question. It says the disciples, as they looked at him, they asked the question. In other words, they all had an agreement
as to this question that should be asked of Jesus. Now, what's interesting is this particular question was not a question about whether there was sin. The question's very specific. Who? You're not getting me. There is no presumption that there is sin. It is a known fact in that culture, society, in the church, that there is sin. They just want to know who. Sounds like a church business meeting, doesn't it? Just wanting the goods. You ever have those people don't come to church, but they come to business meeting? Not here. We can't get officers to show up in our church. We broadcasting, right? We're broadcasting. Boy, COVID came, they left. They just left. Still go to the functions. You know the functions? How do we know they go to functions? They be online posting pictures of the function. Girl, we here, we arrived. Me and my boys, we in the building. Now, some of it is on Sabbath, so I understand why they're not at church. I get it. Did they get that? They didn't get that, did they? They didn't. Some of the events that they're posting online, the offices of the church, are on Sabbath. So I understand why they can't be at church. You can't be in two places at the same time. They don't have the omnipresence thing. Church has changed. Ooh, boy. Shh. It was this close. I almost heard a pin drop. I almost heard that. Didn't come to condemn. I'm talking about my church down there, way down south. Business meeting and board meeting, we have greater attendance. I want you to get this. I'm not making this up. We have greater attendance of church officers at those meetings than we do at our worship services. Are you following that? I don't think it's an anomaly for just that church, but I think it's down south. I don't think it's up in this hemisphere. So the Bible says the disciples are with him and they don't ask if there was sin. They ask who. And they're very specific. They said, did he sin? Now, understand, how long has the man been blind? The Bible says since birth, right? Now, I do understand the concept of born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But they're asking about a punishment because these individuals in the church believe that if you are born blind, that it is punishment from God, and based on that punishment, it is manifested, and therefore you have to live with the result of your sin. So the disciples have in their mind, there is no dispute whatsoever that there is sin that is a contributing factor or the motivator or the reason behind why this young man is blind. All they want to know, just like the church business meeting, is who sinned. You know. It's a gossip fest. They don't want to know if it can be remediated. All they want to know is who. It's like when somebody shows up. Oh, I'll leave it alone. They want to know who can be blamed, the parents or the boy's born blind. I don't know if you're getting this message of hope. The boy's born blind, and they want to know, did he sin? Are you with me? He was in the womb, blind, has never seen the light of day. They want to know if he sinned. We sometimes read this and it becomes so commonplace, and I don't I think it's in large part because we have this thought that if we are good, that goodness follows us. Does a song make any sense? And I say song, I'm talking about the 23rd division of the Psalms. Does it make any sense that he would say, your goodness and your mercy chase after me? If your goodness, if God's goodness comes as a result of you being good, why would you need the mercy to chase the goodness? Oh, I'm sorry, I use the word. Okay, they don't know. When you make a beverage that has an alcoholic base, you sometimes have to add something called a chaser in order to be able to make that beverage go down a little smoother. You understand what I'm saying? Because what happens is if you take the straight hit, I'm waiting to see who's going to go, yeah, it it's a setup. Everybody. My sorrow don't have that in it. I don't put that in mine. Just some pimento seed on some, you know. The psalmist says, goodness of God is chased with his mercy. Ain't that something? So in order for you to receive the goodness of God, he just puts a dose of mercy on it. So that by the time it hits you, it don't burn. Because God, the Bible says God is a consuming fire. It doesn't mean that God will burn you up. God just fills you. God just fills you up. And so when God is filling you up, he says, if all that glory gets in you at one time, I'd have to chase. Is there any medical professionals in the house that can tell me about an IV? What do you put with the nutrients and the stuff? Has anyone gotten IV therapy before? They had to mix that stuff and bring it. It'll burn. God says, my goodness, I'm like a fire that is consumed. I have to chase it with mercy. Moses, you want to see my goodness? I have to cover you. I'm going to let it pass by, but I got to cover you with what? Mercy. But there are those who believe that their goodness will bring about God's goodness. And so the question is asked, who sinned? Jesus stopped. Oh, I love what Jesus does. He's passing by the man. They talked about stoning Jesus. He's passing by. There's a man who was there who was born blind. And as he's passing by, the disciples said, Jesus, real quick. Hey, real quick. Master? They call him master. Rabbi, you know, one who we revere. Teacher, you know, the one. Who sinned? In other words, it's not just that he was a teacher, but he had insight. And he could tell them the hidden things of the heart. You got it. This is the food right here. They wanted to use Jesus' insight and his power to figure out who sinned. Are you with me? We read this chapter, and we get so caught up in what the people in the church did. But I'm here to talk about the people who are with Jesus, his boys, the inner circle, ones we roll with. They said, Jesus, use your power. Tell us which one of them, who did the sinning. And Jesus says, neither he nor his parents, but this man has been reserved to manifest the goodness and the awesomeness of God. We'll move because I can see what's happening. Someone knows about a situation that you're enduring or you have endured, and you can't figure out why, but if you could just embrace the idea that God has literally allowed that thing to happen so he can manifest his goodness through your life, you'd walk a little stronger. Why am I enduring this? Why am I experiencing this? Why do I have to deal with this person? Why am I jobless? Or why do I have a dead-end career? Why is my husband like the way that he is? Why is my spouse the way that she is? Why are my children the way that they are? God says, I'm getting ready to manifest something in your life. The Bible says Jesus has this conversation. Look at the Bible, look at the Bible, look at the Bible. John chapter 9, look at it, look at it, look at it. The Bible says, he answered neither this man nor his parents, but the works of God that need to be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. And the night comes when no man can work. Watch this. He keeps going and going and going. He says, while I'm in the world, what? I am the light of the world. I'm in verse 5, moving through, moving through, moving through. The Bible says in verse 6 right here, watch this, Sabbath keepers, Sabbath keepers, Sabbath keepers. In verse 6, the Bible says when he has said all these things, he does what? He spat on the ground. Understand, in those days, Sabbath keepers, these religious leaders, believe that if you begin to make an anointing, you cannot do that on the Sabbath. You don't hear me? You don't hear me? If someone had a toothache or some kind of an ache, they would get vinegar, but the problem was on a Sabbath day, if you were suffering from that pain, you could not make the ointment or the anointing out of the vinegar. You had to wait for a meal that potentially had vinegar in it and use that for your soothing. Do you hear me? If you were found to be making an anointing, it was, oh, Sabbath breaker. But the Bible says Jesus now, knowing all those things, spits on the ground. And as he spits on the ground, the same dirt he wrote in a few moments ago, he begins to now mix and make out of his spit. Woo! I wish somebody say, Jesus, spit on me. I won't even get into it. Spat and he made clay. And the Bible says, and he anointed the eyes. When he anointed the eyes, the blind man can't see what he has done. But I believe because of his senses being not having the sense of sight, I believe that his sense of hearing was heightened. I believe his sense of smell was also heightened. As he's sitting there, he hears Jesus. You ever do that? You ever want to hear something and have to close your eyes? His eyes, he can't see, but he leans in and he hears the sifting of dirt. The sifting of dirt, which is no longer sounding so dry. Now he hears it being mixed with something else and it's becoming almost liquidy. And like a paste, and now that sound is kind of shifted now, and it's less of the sifting of dirt, and now it sounds more like when your flour has finally taken to that butter and that milk and that sugar that has been mixed separately, and now you're mixing in your dry ingredients, and it's coming together. Now he hears that kind of movement, and all of a sudden he feels something press up against his eyes. It's the hand of God before the piercings with dirt. I thought someone would have jumped through the roof. What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? He's creating something. The last time his hands hit dirt, he was able to form. Can I say this? Can we just, because I understand you're tired. Up last night, late Bible studies, I get it. Jesus has made eyes from dust. He has literally made the iris out of dust. He has made the cornea. He has gone and made the gland or the nerve that sits behind. He has done all of that through dust. He has gotten the connective nerves and he has rubbed them through dust. Now he puts the same dust, the same dirt now, and he spits on it, and he brings it together, and he anoints the man's eyes, and when he anoints his eyes, he says to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The word John is so kind. John recognized that there's going to be some people who are reading the scripture that are not Hebrew and they don't understand the Hebrew language. And so what he does is he gives a full interpretation, pool of Siloam, which is to be interpreted as sent. That's what John does. And as he does that, the man gets up. I don't know how he got there. I don't know if he's been there before and he had to kind of hold and make his way. I don't know if he had a helper. The Bible does not give us any evidence of that. But somehow the man makes his way down, and Jesus did not say, wash off the anointing. Woo-hoo! I wish I had time to preach that part. I don't. Some of us are washing off our anointing. I don't know about you, Andre. Back in the days, I used to get anointing. I'd go home and hold my head, just kind of don't want to wipe my head. I want to leave the anointing. And I'm not suggesting you leave the oil. I'm talking about the anointing that God has placed on your life. Don't let someone else wash that away, and don't you wash it away. The Bible says he told him to go wash. He goes into the pool. He washes. The Bible says when he washed himself, and all of a sudden, the Bible says something miraculous, something way-making, something with the light in the darkness happens. The Bible says that as he went his way, therefore he washed and he came seeing. See? Seeing. Seeing. The Bible said he came seeing, and the neighbors therefore, and they which had before saw him, are in verse 8. The Bible says when they saw him, they said, is this the man that was born blind? Understand what's happening. He looks a little different, Andre. Because now he can see, and his whole face is somewhat lit up. He looks differently than the man who used to be blind. Although, but he still possesses the same characteristics that he had before. He just looks like he's glowing, beaming, like he has some light in him. Look, is that the same? Now he looked like him, but I don't think that dude could do. He couldn't see. Remember, he'd always look a little like little shadow was over his face. And the man says, I am he. I love it. He doesn't say my name is so-and-so, first of his name. He simply says, I am he. And then the Bible says, when this happened, watch what's going on. They're having church service, but Jesus Christ now is doing a community service project. Are you with me? They're having church service. How do you know? Because the Bible says that when they said, how is it that your eyes were open? The Bible said, I'm in verse 10, by the way, going through verse 11. The Bible says, as they asked him that question, a man said, a man that is called Jesus. Now, how do you know his name, Tracy? Because all the disciples said, well, master, in his presence. But the man is acutely aware of what's going. He said, a man called Jesus. What did he say? He said, he made clay. How do you know? I heard it. I felt it. I smelt it. So it's not always he who smelt it dealt it. Because he ain't deal the clay, but he smelt it. Bible says he made the clay. He anointed me. He anointed me. He's telling all the business. You ever have that miracle you had to tell all the business in your life? You don't understand. No, I was there. He anointed me. He has sent me forth to preach the good news, to heal the broken. Bible says, and he said to him, go to the pool of Siloam, wash. And I went. Woo, I love it. I went and I washed. In other words, I did what he told me to do. Bible says, and I received. Watch what he says. Sight. I received it. I got it. These little chatting people, here's what they do. Church is going on. They said, where is he? The man says, I don't know. You ever had a moment? Where is he? I don't know. If Judas would have took those the same advice. Where is he? I don't know. Come with me. I'll show you. There's a place he likes to pray. A little sellout. I don't know. Bible says when they asked the question, he said, I don't know. Then they brought him to the Pharisees. I want to see what's going on. He goes. Some of us are so afraid of church. They took him in. He didn't know. He's never been inside. Because why? Sin. Get some of this. They left him outside. I don't know how long, but it's been years. He can't come. Sin. You literally embody sin, whether it be yours or your parents. There is something sinful about you can't come in here. Now, for the first time, they bring him to church. They brought him in. The Pharisees saw him. They told a miracle. As they tell the miracle, watch this. Bible says, move quick. Bible says they asked him how he received the sight. He told them exactly what happened. And then they said, this man is not of God. Why? He don't keep the Sabbath. Are you with me? They ask him, how did you receive your sight? They are slick. They're bypassing the miracle. Many of us bypass the miracle. You ever try to explain away your miracle? First you ask for God to do the miracle. God does the miracle. And you start qualifying why the miracle wasn't really a miracle. It was really you. But thank you, God, anyway, next time I get back at you. Help me get this job. Help me pass this test. All of a sudden, you take the test and you leave the test on my. It was easy. Like that wasn't the miracle. You ever had that moment where you pray and ask God, please, oh Lord, help my marriage. And then God helps your marriage and you say, you know, we really get along real well anyway. We can just talk things out. We know exactly, we know how to communicate with you. Like that wasn't the miracle. Bible says they bypassed the miracle. And they said to him, this man is not of God. He does not keep the Sabbath. And the problem we have is that we are so caught up. Many of us, I'm going to say this. It's going to get funny in here in a minute. Many of us break the Sabbath because we think the Sabbath is impossible to keep. I use the word us. Can I read something to you from a commentary? I'm going to read this to you. This is not me. This is from a commentary. Here's what it says. It says, oh, I see what happened. The devil is a liar. You ever had that moment? He tried to take the stuff away. But here's what God does. Here's what it says. God ordained that the Sabbath should be a blessing. Now, this is from the commentary as relates to when Jesus spoke to the individual and said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Okay? Watch what it says. God ordained that the Sabbath should be a blessing, not a burden. And it is to man's interest and not to his injury to observe it. It was designed to increase his happiness, not to work a hardship on him. Sabbath keeping does not consist essentially in the petty observance of certain formalities and in abstention from certain pursuits. To think of it in this light is to miss completely the true spirit and objectives of Sabbath observance and to engage in a pursuit of righteousness based on works. Are you with me so far? We refrain from certain tasks. Here we go. Teach young people this. Teach your children this. Right? We refrain from certain tasks, from certain pursuits, and from certain topics of thought and conversation, not because that by doing so we think to win favor with God. We refrain from these things in order that we may devote our time, our energies, and our thought to other pursuits that will increase our understanding of God, our appreciation of his goodness, our capacity to cooperate with him, and our ability to serve him and our fellow men more effectively. Sabbath keeping that consists of only or primarily in the negative aspects of not doing certain things is not Sabbath keeping at all. It is only when the positive aspects of Sabbath keeping is practiced that we may hope to derive from Sabbath observance the benefit ordained by a wise and loving creator. That's a lot. I'm not going to read it again because it's a lot. It took a long time. Some of you dozed off. In other words, in short, the Sabbath is supposed to be a blessing to you, but when you approach it as though it's a burden, it dishonors God and does nothing for you. But if you approach it as the blessing that it is, you will receive the benefits, and that will enhance your relationship with God and help you to benefit those around you. So back to the man outside. He gets anointed on the Sabbath. After the anointing, he receives his sight. They bring him into the church. They say, this man does not keep the Sabbath. And what they want him to do, they want him to dispel what Christ has done for him. They say it again. What do you say? Watch what they do. They try to put him on the spot. What do you say about the man who opened your eyes? I love when people have to profess what God's done for you, right? What do you say about it? And the man turns to them, the blind man, who now can see, and he says, he's a prophet. He is a prophet. Watch what he does. And then the Bible says, and the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been born blind. When the man said Jesus is a prophet, they said, we don't believe you. And that, guess what they do? Guess. It's not a secret. It's in the text. They send for his parents. I want you guys, we have to be careful. We have to be very, very careful right here. The man just received his sight. He was outside the church, and they brought him into the church to see the Pharisees. He has not yet seen his own parents. From the day he was born, he has never seen his parents. He has only felt his parents. He has only heard his parents. And he has smelled his parents. He has never seen them. And the first time he sees them is in the house of worship. But as he sees them in the house of worship, stick with me. As he's brought, now his parents are brought before him. His parents see that he looks different. His parents see that he looks different, Andre. And they ask the parents, listen to the question. Is this your son? I'm here. I'm in the Bible right here, verse 19. And do you say he was born blind? And then how does he now see? Three questions. Is he your son? Do you say he was born blind? And how is he now seeing? These nondescript, sorry jokers for parents. These delinquent, no God, Christ-like, nothing in them, Holy Spirit lacking, fearful cowards. I can keep going. Here's what the parents say. Listen to the wicked people. Here's the wicked people. These are wicked parents. We have wicked parents, not just here, but in the world. Watch this now. Here's what the wicked parents say in the church. They were in the, you got to get, they were inside the whole time. They left the boy outside, stepped past him, and went and sat down to enjoy service. They knew how the Pharisees did not like Jesus. And that both of them now, the both parents come, not one parent, but both parents come, and they answer him saying, we know that this is our son. They at least owned it. And that he was born blind. It's a shame they've been, you got to get what's going on. They've been carrying shame because as a result of this boy. And they say this wicked thing. But by what means he now sees, we don't know. I don't know how that boy see me right now. I don't know how he's looking at us. That's what the parents say. And they said, watch this. Or who has opened, they're in church, and they're saying, we have no idea who opened his eyes. They're in the church. Service. Then they say, oh, watch this wicked part. There's a wickedness. Verse 21. Wicked. 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 He's of age. You're wicked, what? I know some grown, crusty men in their 50s still calling mama for $5. I'm not lying. They said, he's of age. He can speak for himself. It's the first time he's seen their mouth move. It's the first time. He's looking through, but you know what I love about this? You know what I love? My dear sister, I'm going to talk to you for a minute. I think you got your Bible over you. Watch this. He's seeing his parents for the first time, but he's seeing them through the lens that Christ just gave him. You don't hear me. He sees his parents. For the first time, he's laying eyes on his father. He's laying eyes on his mother. But he's seen them through the lens that Christ has given him. And as he sees them, as he's seeing them. Now, having seen them, they said, you're old enough? Ask him yourself. What? And John does this. John just tells all the business. John says they answered this way because they were scared. They were scared that if they said what they knew they should have said, that they would be banned from the church. And back in those days, they used to ban them for about 30 days for professing Christ. So, they were getting ready to kill Jesus in the church. These people are so scared of their position that they're trying to just cover up themselves at the expense of their child. Many of us are covering up ourselves at the expense of our children. Let's get to it. Let me just go back and get to it. We'll finish this in a minute. The biggest problem I have with this passage of scripture is that the disciples had access to Jesus and they had a very close relationship, but they were not intimate with God. What do you mean? In verse 2, the disciples are with Jesus. They're walking with him. And the best they can ask Jesus is, who sinned? Not one of them said, Jesus, how are you going to heal him? Not one of them said, Jesus, will you please restore his sight? Jesus, even if they thought he sinned, Jesus, can you forgive him or his parents for sinning and restore his sight? Not one of them asked that question. How do you roll with Jesus and have no love and compassion for a person born blind? You don't ask anything. You are supposed to have an intimate relationship. You know about the power of God. And rather than use the power for healing, you use the power to find out who did it. You know what I realized? When Jesus said, no one sinned, but it was that the goodness and the glory of God would be made manifest. It wasn't about just the Pharisees in the church. It was about the disciples who were on his team. Because not one of you asked for mercy for this man. Not one of you asked for healing. You know how messed up it is that every day we pray as Christians and we don't pray and ask God to do anything for anyone else? You know how messed up that is? You know him. You have an intimate relationship. You have the in. You have an in. Like, you know him. And you don't reach into that knowledge of Christ and the relationship you have and ask for the benefit of others. But all you see when you see someone else, oh, that's a sin. That can't be worked out. Hey, Jesus, who did that, by the way? Because you're so comfortable with where you are, we are missing intimacy in our relationship with God. And that's why we are missing intimacy in our relationship with each other. The biggest problem we have is that our experience is about knowledge and repetition and rituals. So we wake up in the morning and we say, Lord, thank you for this day. Help me to have a good day. The most basic prayers. Be with me today, Lord. Work everything out for me, Lord. Please, oh Lord, help me to have a great... What? It's uncomfortable now because people say, I did pray that 2 minutes ago. What's wrong with that? That's a good... Why do you think God woke you up this morning? Do you think God really woke you up to make you have a bad day? You think you need to kind of persuade God? God, I know you woke me up, but Lord, please give me a good one. Like, you think you need to do? Why do you think he woke you up? Let's seriously, let's talk about it. Why do you think God woke you up this morning? So you could hope you have a good day? Our prayer life is messed up because we've been taught to pray like this. That's how we've been taught to pray. We have not been taught to have an intimate, real relationship with God. And that's why our relationships with people are so just plastic. They're shallow. We don't get deep with God. Your prayer should be less of, help me have a good day. And Lord, I know you have something prepared for me today. I know how you do. So what I need you to do, Lord, is this. I'm going to need some grace today. Because we're getting ready to give me, I want to make sure I'm able to handle it when you bring it on. Right? If you want to tell me how you're going to do it, share it with your boy. But if it's going to be a surprise, let me embrace it fully. Lord, here's what I need, Lord. I need some more power today, because let's say you did some marvelous things, and I don't think I had the power to embrace that thing right and give it to others. Lord, I want to just be able to pray for someone today. So, Lord, put it in my way where I can see properly who I need to pray. If Jesus was sitting down, the best you would say to him is, Jesus, help me have a good day. All right? You do that. I want you to do me a favor. Go and research the four Gospels and find one instance where a disciple asked Jesus to heal someone. They were right there the whole time. Find it. Do me another favor. Oh, it's going to get uncomfortable. Go through the scriptures and find an instance where parents, father and mother, entreated the Lord for their child. You often find a father come to Jesus. You'll often find a mother come to Jesus. But these two sorry jokers called parents in John chapter 9 are in the church. Jesus is out right outside, Andre. Do you know how different this story could have been told? Pardon me. How differently this story could have been told? If these two parents would have said, you know what, forget her, Jesus, on the outside. Jesus, our son, Lord, have mercy. You know how different it would have been? A husband and wife come together and cry out, Lord, have mercy on our child. We can't even find parents who are coming together to have an intimate conversation with God about what they really need. You have a husband oftentimes hiding from his wife. You have a wife oftentimes hiding from her husband and praying secretly, Lord, help him. I don't like him, Lord. He don't like me. Can't see eye to eye, but we can see fist to fist. I need you to work this thing out. I'm serious. Can you imagine if husband and wife had a real conversation with God? Lord, help us and help our marriage as we try to parent these little hard-headed children. Lord, help me to continue to love him and just do for him. And Lord, help me to love her and give her what she, help me to listen to her, Lord. Be real. Lord, help me to look at her right. Stop staring at Susan in accounting. Lord, Susan trying to get to me, Jesus, but I just ask you to keep this right here, Jesus. Keep it right here. Be real. Now your wife going to look at you funny in the prayer. Why you ain't never mentioned Susan before the prayer? You need to start having an intimate conversation with God and with each other. You think an affair creeps up on you? All of a sudden you just end up, oh, Lord, I don't know what happened. Just slipped over here and just, oh, no. You're not getting intimate. Have an intimate conversation with your children. And then have an intimate prayer with your children. You need to start. Pray, Lord, we need some food. Ain't got no money. Children going to learn. And guess what happens when the blessing comes? Guess what the children know? Bring everything to Lord in prayer. Stop making it seem like you did this. Pray on your own and come out the closet. Hey, look, we have some. You did not buy that McDonald's on your own. Somebody gave it to you through the prayer. Or whatever you guys do. What do you do? Something more healthy, not McDonald's? The disciples have a close-up relationship with Jesus, and they don't utilize it properly. And because of that, they lack power in what they're asking him for. All they want to know is who sinned. And many of us, when we pray to God, we lack engaging the power of God. And all I'm asking today is that us, all of us, start to engage God in a more intimate relationship and just start to use the power that's at our disposal. Because if we do that, then we'll be able to see. We'll start seeing. And we would have seen what God can do. Bible says, as they're going through this conversation, watch this, we're getting there. But as they're going through this conversation, the Bible says that they said he could speak for himself. And the man, what I love about it, the man does not get discouraged, does not look at his parents and say, I can't believe y'all. Do you see me? I can see you. Not only can I hear you, I can see you. Doesn't do any of that. The Bible says they turn back. And the Bible says that they turn back. They looked at him and said, look, give God the praise because we know this man is a sinner. They're trying to set him up. Because if he says, no, I'm not going to give God praise, I'm going to give them. No, no. But I love what he does. Keep in mind, he is not an educated by the Sanhedrin. But what he does is he takes the last clause. They said, give God the glory, for we know this man is a sinner. And he takes the last clause of them calling him a sinner. And the man says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. I don't know. They asked him, where did he go? I don't know. Is he a sinner? I don't know. But what I do know, I was blind. But now, woo, I see. See, seeing, seeing. He said, I don't know. What he did last night? I don't know what he did last night, but I know I can see where he come from. I don't know where he come from, but guess what? I was blind and now I can what? See. They said, tell us again. What did he do to you? The man answered the first time because he thought they wanted to hear the testimony. But now the man realizes y'all playing games. And the man says, I've told you already. And you did not hear. Verse 27. He says, why do you want to hear it again? If I tell you, will you become his disciples? I want you to catch this. The man heard the question the disciples asked Jesus. But he's still willing to say, will you become his disciples? When he says that, when he says, look, then they reviled him. And they said, you are his disciple. Praise God. But we are Moses' disciple. And then they keep going and going and going. And then the man turns to him and says, why is there such a marvelous miracle that's been done? And you don't know where he come from. He's punking him now. He said, how is it this man's done this such a wonderful thing and you don't know where he comes from and you don't know who he is? And he says, and yet he opened my eyes. Now watch what he says. This he's teaching them. He has not been in the church school. He's not going to cradle roll. But somehow, I'm sitting outside the church. He says, we know that God hears not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and do his will, him he heareth. This is the man talking, the blind man. I keep calling him blind. He's no longer blind, but he held that title from before. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? He has done his research. Before this day with Christ, he already did his research to figure out if it's possible, because if it already had been done, he would have been praying for it to be done. But it had never been done. All he did was accept the fact that he's born blind, and he moved on. But this man, then he says this, he says, if this man was not of God, he could do nothing. Then they get personal. You altogether born in your sins. You gonna come teach me? You know what they just said? They have no sin. They said, you were born in your sin. You were born blind. But they're escaping the fact that he's no longer blind. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim him. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says, he says, I was blind. Now I see. Free. Oh, I'm free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. I'm no longer bound by blindness. No more chains of a lack of sight or holding me. Bible says, as he goes through, he says, and you're going to try and teach us. And they threw him out the church. But guess what? They threw him out. They threw Jesus out as well. And they may throw you out. Come on. They may throw you out. He didn't post anything on social media. He just got thrown out. He didn't get upset and say, start throwing rocks. Just got thrown out. But here's a beautiful thing. I want you to say this. I want to say this to you. When he was thrown out, the Bible says, and Jesus, when he heard they threw him out, he came and found them. There's something. We could play something. Thank you. You're a soldier, man. You're a soldier. When they threw him out, Jesus comes to find him. And when Jesus comes to find him, oh, Jesus is so kind. When they throw you out, I want you to rest assured that Jesus is coming to find you. When they cast you out and say that you are no longer welcome here, I want you to know that he's coming by to find you. And all he's working on is trying to build some intimacy with you. Intimacy, we've taken it, we've perverted it. It means a closeness. It means having a relationship that you can say some things and feel comfortable and secure, that those things are in a safe place. God wants to build intimacy with you. It says, when Jesus heard, they cast him out. And when he found him, I once was lost. Ain't that something? But he found me. Ain't that something? It says, in that moment, Jesus turned to him and said, do you believe? Do you believe on the Son of God? Now keep in mind, John's documenting this. And roughly 6 chapters ago, John documents that famous verse when Jesus was having a conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus is sitting in the church. He's with the Pharisees, with the group, as they're discussing this idea of Jesus. And so now, that same question, that same thing, he says, do you believe on the Son of God? And Jesus is now going back to chapter 3, verse what? Yeah, 16. They do it at football games all the time. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes. Jesus says, do you believe? Bible says, the man, I love the question, I love the answer. He says, Lord, who is he? I want to believe, but just tell me who he is, the Son of God. Can you imagine how powerful this is? He don't say, nah, I need to check his curriculum vitae first. I have to make sure that he has credentials. I mean, just show me, who is he? Bible says, Jesus says, you have seen. I was blind. Now I see. Bible said he went to go wash. He came seeing. And he says, Jesus is turning. He says, you have seen him. And it is he that talketh with you. And the man doesn't say, well, give me a moment. He says, Lord, I believe. And right there in that moment, he didn't just use lip service. The Bible says he began to worship him. Something happens. As we look at the book of Genesis, chapter 3, this is the part I had reserved for you earlier, but got to it late. The Bible says Eve is there. And I want you to understand, Eve was created out of the dust, formed by God. She was made perfect. But God does not give you the intimate relationship. You have to work into that thing. You have to put the work in. You have to put time in to have an intimate relationship. And so, Andre, here's what we see in the book of Genesis chapter 3. Somehow, Eve and Adam are separate. Intimacy. And somehow, when they're separate, the devil begins to speak to Eve through the serpent and tell her, you're not seeing everything you ought to see. And he says, if you eat this fruit, your eyes will be open, you'll begin to see, you'll start seeing, and you would have seen that you can become like God. In other words, forget having an intimate relationship with God, you'll just be as God. And because Eve didn't have a good understanding of what the serpent was doing, and because she was seeking intimacy into something else, she takes the fruit. She eats the fruit. And the Bible says, in the cool of the day, when the voice of God is walking through the garden, she takes off, her and her husband, and they hide because they don't want to be seen. Satan is a liar. He lied in the very beginning. And he lied even at that church on that Sabbath day. And on that Sabbath day, The Pharisee said, we can see. And Christ said, if you'd have acknowledged that you were blind, I could help you. But I was using this young man. Isn't that something? The man was born blind. He was born on purpose, for a purpose. To show that even though he can't see now, when he does see, he'll see me and believe. So here's where we are today. Very quickly. I simply stopped by to challenge all of us, not you, not you, not you, but us, into a intimate relationship with God. To transition from those comfortable prayers, that lip service prayer, to a place where we begin to engage God and have a real conversation. We need to stop reciting hymns and verses to impress the listeners and start speaking to God for real about what's going on, and then use those verses and those hymns to strengthen yourself so you can learn more about God. So when you do speak with him, you can actually say something to him. And then give yourself some time in your prayer to shut up and listen. It sounds tough, but I don't know about you, but I prayed because it's time to pray. You know what I'm talking about? Just pray because it's time to pray, right? It just seems like the right thing, it's time to pray. But not really engaging God, checking a box, prayed. And then, you know, the prayer you pray, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done. Such a good, and then you start quoting these scriptures. Lord, I know you're the light of my the world, Lord. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Who shall I be afraid? Oh, yes. And we get ourselves happy. And we haven't said a word to God about what's going on in our life and what he has done and where we need to go. So I'm trying to stop these little form prayers. I want to spend some time with God and have an intimate relationship with him. An intimate conversation where I stop asking who sinned. And I start saying, Lord, we need some healing. Your servant needs healing. The disciples had it. And the issue with the healing on the Sabbath, historians and scholars, they've gone through. And do you know something? They have found 7 instances in scripture where Christ healed on the Sabbath. Intentional, deliberate, goodness wrapped in mercy. There's no mistake. But when you have that kind of an intimate relationship with God and you spend time digging into his word, understand, digging into God's word is digging into him. And when you do that, your conversation is different. You can literally walk into a board meeting at work. No weapon. How you doing, Bob? No weapon. Hey, how you doing, Sally? No weapon. You know, they're trying to pin stuff on you, Lisa. You ever had that moment? You know this meeting ain't going to go right, right? No weapon. How you, everybody? No weapon. No weapon. You ever have that? Had one last week. Or that this week. This week. It's still... Yes. Went in there, no weapon. Next slide. Nay, they ain't no hit him. I left the meeting. No weapon. But I already told God about him. I told God about him. He knows, but I had a conversation. Shut up. I'm sick of this. They don't like me. I don't like me. But I need to learn to love, right? I get that. But no weapon. Sick of it. Devil try to just flub up your life. You ever had devil try to flub up your life? You ever had that? Just me or her, right? If devil try to flub up, I'll talk to you for a little bit. You ever had that moment You're just trying to get right. Trying to get right. And the devil comes in and throws some stuff in there. Everything going fine. You're ironing clothes. Just ironing. Devil to start dropping stuff. Bro, get upset. Just get mad. Say something. Go ahead, say something. Pouring the thoughts in. Next thing you know, why the light on? You in there ironing, bro. The light's on. The light needs to be on. That was just me on Thursday? Just me? Was that just me? Intimate relationship. Lord, help me. I'm getting upset. The devil's pouring it on. I feel it coming. Why? God's getting ready to. Every time you feel it coming, God's getting ready to do something. And the devil knows the signs. You going through it, Andre? He's getting ready to manifest something. The demons are poured out into your life. Because God has already delivered the blessing. Endure what you're going through so you can make it to the blessing. You got to get that. Not so you can get the blessing. You just need to make it to the blessing. I gave my son an example of this. Years ago, I was driving to Orlando. I wasn't married yet, single, and driving. And, you know, a long drive. And I was coming up. And as I was coming up, I hit a terrible storm. Terrible storm. Couldn't see anything. Couldn't see the lanes on the highway. Nothing. And as I'm driving. Oh, we're going at an hour strong. Let me get y'all here in a minute. Watch this. As I'm driving. There's an overpass. And I pull over. Can't see. But the rain's not stopping. And something tells me, bro, you got to drive through it to get out of it. Storm's not just going to stop. Especially since you stopped the storm. Yeah, we got him. I kept on driving, Andre. I'm here today. Made it through the storm. And you know what I love about the weather in this old crazy state? It's almost as though it never happened. When that sun comes out, somebody should have said hallelujah right there. We're getting ready to wrap up. We're getting ready to wrap up. Let's sing something. When the sun comes out, when the sky rolls back those gray clouds and the sun comes out, it's as though it never happened. The Apostle Paul says, I count it all joy as though it never happened. Why? Because the sun is getting ready to come out. Come out of where? Well, he's in the most holy place right now. And when Michael stands up, the great prince who stands for his people, and he comes out, it's as though it never happened. So, we're done. Can we sing something? You got something in mind? Praise God. Let's sing it right now, please. I just want to say this. I can't give you 3 steps, 7 steps to get through this year. I can't give you the top 2024 milestones that you need to meet in order to get through. I can't tell you how you can win the war in your life or how you can get your marriage back on track by doing these few simple things. What I can tell you is that you can fix everything if you build an intimate relationship with God. Everything. When he says he'll give you everything your heart desires, it simply means you spend time with him and he'll begin to pour out into your life. I have received so many blessings and I never asked for them, Chiron. You got to get that. Cameron, do you know that everything that I want, God has poured out? Not because I am righteous. Not because I spent time fasting for 40 days and pouring out my petition. No. He's just so good. I haven't even engaged him on a deep, intimate level yet. Got to be honest. I haven't even done that. But I know if I do, the God that I serve, he will open up and make seas in the highways, deserts, into a byway, make my own up. Because God says there is nothing that I'll hold back from you. So we're going to worship through song right now, and then we're going to have our closing prayer. We're asking God to do something that we can't do.
Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Yeah. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. I want your help, my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. So I'll be still and know your God. I'll be still and know your God. I'll be still and know your God forever.
While they play softly, just very quickly, I want to do this. I don't know where you are in your relationships today, but our relationships down here reflect and resemble our relationship with God. It just does. So I want to encourage and invite those who have a spouse in the building. I also want to invite you just to come. And or wherever you are, just stand with your spouse, if you're so inclined. And we're praying for an intimate relationship with God that will begin to flow from him into your earthly relationship with one another. Are you following me? So we're literally praying to God to have a more intimate relationship with him, and it will manifest itself into your relationship with one another. The young man, he was literally left blind from birth in order to build a relationship with God that would benefit his parents' relationship with God. Are you hearing this? This is so powerful. So that his mother and father could experience a relationship like never before. I'm going to ask if there are siblings. Maybe your spouse is in here. Maybe a sibling and a sibling. I'm going to ask for you to ask God to help. I don't care your age. To build an intimate relationship with him at a young age. I've done it. And I wasn't right all my life. But there's something about knowing God when you're young. He keeps you. I'm telling you, he keeps you. If there's anyone here that's going to ask you to come together for that prayer, siblings or friends or cousins or niece and uncle and or auntie and nephew, whatever it is, come together. We're going to pray. Grandparent, grandchild, watch this. I've seen God do too much. I was going through it this past summer. And I couldn't figure out, why isn't God answering my prayers? Usually everything I pray for, I get. You ever have that? You pray and God just delivers. And sometimes even when I don't pray, he just delivers. But this one time I was going down the steps and I said to myself, why is it? Amber said, you know, just keep praying. But I've been praying, Tracy. And I'm going down the steps. I walk past the room. My children are sleeping. And I said, thank God they're okay. And as I'm walking down the steps, I fall. I fall going down. I fall. So happened that the steps were carpeted. So I was able to, when I fell, no injury to my knees. I landed on one knee, Sherwin. And in that moment, as I landed, I didn't hit. I didn't roll. I literally got right in the position. That's how I landed, like this. And I'm looking forward. And I just stayed there. Because Renee, I knew I should have hurt something. Old age, you hurt something. FCAT, when I got up, I was none the wiser. But I went back and I told him, I was having these thoughts. Remember, I just spoke to you, and as I was going down the steps, I just fell and I landed. And she said, prayer. You need to pray. And you know what I learned? I learned that, Jason, it wasn't about praying for the thing I wanted. It was about praying to build a relationship with the giver of every good and perfect gift. And from that moment, he wrote out everything that I said I wasn't getting an answer to. He just wanted a relationship with me. And I realized I've been missing out on the best part of our relationship. He just wants to get to know me. That's all he wants. And he wants, more importantly, watch this, he wants me and Elise to get to know him. And if I get to know God the way that God wants me to know him, nothing is withheld. If I let God know I love you, if I let God know that I'll give you all the hallelujah, he'll roll it out. So today, we're simply praying for an intimate relationship with God. We won't want to worry about who sinned. Was it his parents or was it him? We'll be literally saying, Lord, I know you're going to heal them. How are you going to do it? They don't hear me, Tracy. I know the healing's coming. But how are you going to do it? I know you're going to take care of me after a little while. It feels like it's forever. It feels like this is my destiny. It feels like this is what I have to live with. No. God says, I'm going to deliver. But how are you going to do it? So we're praying, spouses, siblings, you're joined in. If your spouse is not here, and you just happen to know someone, and their spouse or their children are not here either, come to, we're just going to have prayer. We're just going to come together for prayer. You don't have to hold the other person's hand. You don't have to just stand in the need of prayer. We're just asking someone to stand in the need of prayer, because in this moment, we are calling on God to connect with us, and we're saying, Lord, we want to connect with you. We just haven't learned how to do it yet. They've taught us these little measly prayers. Oh, Lord, thank you for my food. Thank you for my mommy. Thank you for my daddy. Amen. That's not going to get it when you turn 21. Lord, I need you. Intimacy with God. And in that intimacy, he'll make the crooked way straight. We're praying. We're praying. And as we pray, we're asking for the Lord to lead us on how to pray. Because if we can do that, nothing will be withheld from us in our relationship with him. Our Father and our God, we thank you. Lord, we don't even know how to ask for intimacy with you. Not sure how to do it. We just know it needs doing. Dear Lord, I want to have a relationship where we can come and bring things to you, dear Lord, we're uncomfortable talking about out loud. Things, dear Lord, that we know you know, but we haven't openly shared them with you and asked you to take control over it, dear Lord. Everything, dear God. Things as simple as, Lord, lay out my menu for the day. Lord, show me what you want me to eat. This cancer thing is serious. This diabetes thing, dear Lord, I want to protect my kidneys, dear Father. I don't want to succumb to dialysis, dear Lord, so help. Show me where you want me to go. Dear Lord, help me with my children. I don't know how to teach them to love you. I don't know, dear Lord, how to govern them, dear Father. I don't know if this particular after school activity is the best one for them. I don't know, dear Lord, if this enrichment is the one they should have. Lord, I don't know if the tutor that they have, dear Lord, if they should continue on. Lord, help me. Dear Lord, should they continue eating the school lunch, or should I prepare them a home lunch? Lord, help. I need a breakfast idea for them, dear God. They're not eating, they're underweight. Lord, help. Intimacy. Stop acting like you got it. Lord, I don't know. I don't know how to love my wife. Never seen it done effectively. Was never taught, dear Lord, how to raise a family. What do I say to her? How do I look at her? How do I listen, dear Lord? How do I engage without saying a word? How do I look in her eyes, dear God, and without saying a word, let her know I love you? Lord, teach me how to love without words. In other words, dear God, teach me how to love like you. Lord, I don't read your word. I don't get it when I read it. But when I hear other people talk about it, it sounds like everyone else is getting it but me. Lord, help me to learn you through your scripture. But first, Lord, just teach me how to speak to you so I can understand and hear your voice. I don't know how you sound. Other people say they got an answer from the Lord. Heard a woman talking about this morning, dear Lord, a testimony, confirmation on a verse. I've never had that. Lord, we have to just ask God for grace. Teach us how to be intimate with you. So, Lord, because I don't know how your love language works, I'm going to teach you a little bit about mine. Lord, I need affirming throughout the day. If it's okay, oh Lord, can you just pat me on the back every now and then if I'm doing things in accordance to your will? Can I get some kind of just reassurance, dear God, that I'm doing what you have for me to do? Is this the right job for me? Am I dressing right? Is this my style? Are these pants, dear Lord, the pants you have? Lord, help me. And dear God, I know that if we are that bare and open with you, we then make way for you to be raw and open with us. And there's no stopping us, dear God, because then we'll see you. We'll be seeing you, and we'll have seen you. But greater than that, when people see us, they'll be seeing you, and they'll leave that interaction saying, lo, we have seen him, the giver of every good and perfect gift. Lord, be with every sibling, I pray. Help those relationships to help one another, dear Lord. Help them, dear God, to be saved, dear God, and to co-labor with you on behalf of their brother, on behalf of their sister. Dear Lord, I beg you, please, help them, dear Lord, to be able to trust one another because you are in them. Dear Lord, be with each spouse represented here today, dear Father. Help them, dear Lord, to be open and honest, haven't always done right. These last few years of marriage, dear God, have not been the best. Maybe the whole marriage has been a farce. But dear Lord, today we say, renew us, revive us, restore us. So when the devil pours out, we know, keep moving. The sun is on its way. Dear God, I beg you, please, please, oh Lord, help us to believe on you so we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for your love. Thank you so much, dear Lord, for your kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.